flag, the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, public comments and announcements. Anybody in the gallery, anybody have any public comments or announcements? Hearing none. For the board, I'd like to just say, let's everybody keep Mayor McNulty, keep him in your thoughts with the loss of his mother recently.
Yeah.
We're thinking about you, Patrick. Okay. Anybody else? Okay. All right. Four, discussion and action. 4.1, discussion and action regarding the proposed Lot 6A, Block 17, Padre Beach, Section 2, to merge two existing lots into a single lot.
Yes, good afternoon. Alex Sanchez, Public Works Director. So this is located on Pompano Street. There is no improvements that are required, and it's fast-tracked. This property is on the EDC, so they're making two lots into one. And so you can approve with condition, or deny. They have met all the requirements, so staff recommends approval. And I guess just for your information, this will be the parking lot for the next item.
This is on the I guess the south side. Is that correct?
Yes, it's on the south side.
Mm-hmm. Now the county has a single account on lot six as a 5,000 foot platted lot.
I'm not sure about that, but...
Is there a 6 and a 6A?
No, there are two lots. It's, I think it's 6 and 7.
Mm-hmm.
And they're making it into one. I mean, as far as the plat, it meets all the requirements.
Oh, I see. Okay. Right now it's two individual lots.
Yes.
6 and 7. Okay, well, you're calling it replat of lot 6A.
Yeah, that's the new subdivision name.
That's what it would be called. So right now, 6 and 7 are... Okay. All right.
I'll make a motion to approve.
I second.
Okay. Got a motion and a second. I'm going to... All in favor, aye?
Aye.
I had recently performed a service on that property, lot 6 and 7, so I'm sustaining. Okay. 4.2, discussion and action regarding a shared parking distance variance for lot 2, block 30, Padre Beach, section 3.
Yes, so this property is located on the northwest corner of Laguna and Marlin Street. They came to our office somewhere in September 2023. They did submit some sketches and then they applied until April 17, 2025. So if you can look at that timeline there. They're trying to get a shared parking for that's the lot that was replatted. It's around 694 feet away. So if you recall, in June 2025, shared parking was 1,200. And then on March 2025, it was changed to 200 feet. That's why it's the variance. And they might have more history. So you have to determine if it's a hardship, and it has to be that it's difficult to and challenging, and it's a lengthy thing. But basically, they're saying that since they started before the ordinance changed, that's why they're asking for the hardship. So.
Okay. If anybody wants to speak, If you would just come to the podium, state your name.
Good afternoon. My name is Stephanie Roman, and I flew in from Houston, Texas, to your beautiful city. I represent BGSBI, and we are seeking to get a variance or grandfather in the parking for my client. As you know, you just heard, my client purchased the property in February. They started communicating with the Planning and Zoning Commission about what they wanted to do as far as building a restaurant. At the time when they purchased the property, the 1,200-foot variance or 1,200-foot limitation for parking was set in place, and then that was revised to 200 feet. My client has spent a substantial amount of money with the property, but this is not a financial issue only. This is also an issue regarding an artificial competitive advantage for the other restaurants and surrounding parking. The parking right across the street is owned by one family member. The and other officials that are in a public capacity, either as mayor or fire marshal. These individuals all own a company called South Padre Redevelopment. I don't know if you can see this on Exhibit A. However, where my client's lot is, it's surrounded by South Padre Redevelopment Co. Every single lot where parking is afforded has been restricted only to the use being for South Padre Redevelopment and the restaurants that South Padre Redevelopment Co. is affiliated with. My client's future restaurant is right here. You'll see South Padre, South Padre Redevelopment, South Padre, South Padre, South Padre, South Padre. So the dramatic reduction from 1,200 down to 200 feet for parking unfairly benefits businesses. There is possibly a due process violation for the arbitrary government action that took place after my clients purchased the property. There's a potential equal protection violation. The ordinance change seemed arbitrary with no relationship to a legitimate government purpose. It seems that if the 1,200-foot parking length stayed in place, there wouldn't be congestion of traffic. The reduction has will cause a congestion of traffic. My client has provided a parking agreement, has also purchased the property for additional parking, which wouldn't be used solely for its business. It would be used for other businesses. They've also talked about putting a shuttle or pedicab in, so it would be beneficial for individuals who are walking in the development district. And we see no legitimate public justification for the dramatic change. We also believe there's an unjust enrichment to South Padre Redevelopment Group, and we are seeking to get a variance and or grandfathered in to the old ordinance distance.
I think Stephanie kind of...
If you'll state,
let me state my name here. So my name is Nitin Kassan. Our group is very invested in South Padre Island. As you may know, enjoy hospitality. So we have several businesses here in South Padre Island. Just last week, you know, we generated over $150,000 of city tax money. So we want to continue growing in South Padre Island. We like this you know, the beach, the city. We've been part of South Padre for over 20 years, and we want to continue to grow here. In this instance, you know, we started, like Alex was mentioning, we started back in 2023 on this project. So we're going to be about 3 years into this project in about a few months. So I don't know about you guys, but getting a permit and taking 3 years for a permit is it's pretty lengthy. And with the amount of development that's going on in South Padre Island, it's kind of, you know, a little longer process than you would expect for a permit to happen. With that, if you look at the timeline here, we've communicated very well with the city of what our plans were for that plot of land. And throughout the 2 years of this timeline, we've talked to city officials. Marcia Martinez is no longer with us, but it all began from that point on. With that, let's talk about the hardship part of it. I mean, 1,200 feet away from the building, we satisfy that. 200 feet away from the building, it really, like Stephanie was saying, it really makes it impossible. Nobody could do it. Not me. I mean, not any of you guys. Nobody could do it. So that's a true hardship there.
Okay. That it? Okay, anybody else?
Good afternoon. My name is Annie Holland Miller, and I'm with South Padre Redevelopment Company. Before I address the substance of the variance request, I feel compelled to speak to the tone and tactics that have begun to surround this process. In recent weeks, a Houston-based self-styled investigative reporter has been hired to produce a series of videos targeting this community. These videos are filled with inflammatory rhetoric, distortions, and outright misinformation. They attack elected officials and private citizens alike, vilifying those who have volunteered their time and service to this city. While we don't know exactly who brought this hired personality into the conversation, it is clear that his campaign is designed to intimidate, divide, and disrupt. He has employed aggressive tactics to stir conflict, sow distrust, and fracture a community that has long been committed to open, respectful civic discourse. That is not how we do things here. This is a community that values facts, process, and fair play. And those values must be protected, especially when outside pressure is applied to bend the rules and distract from the real issues at hand. So let's talk about this variance request. The applicant is requesting a shared parking distance variance, arguing that they face a hardship due to the updated requirement that off-site parking be located within 200 feet of the subject property, reduced from the previous 1,200-foot standard. Let's be clear, this was not a sudden or arbitrary requirement. It's the result of an extensive public process, and the community had ample opportunity to provide input, voice support or concern, and be heard. The conversation began at the March 27th, 2024 City Commission meeting when the issue was referred to both you all, the Planning and Zoning Commission, and the Development Standards Review Task Force for review and recommendation. It was then discussed across multiple public meetings and posted on the April 15th, 2024 Development Standards Review Task Force agenda and the April 18th, 2024, February 20th, 2025, and March 4th, 2025 Planning and Zoning Commission agendas. At this commission's April 18th, 2024 meeting, you all questioned the practicality, if not the absurdity, of expecting residents or visitors to park their car and then walk 1,200 feet, the equivalent of nearly 4 football fields, to get to dinner. The consensus was clear: the old standard was unrealistic and out of alignment with the city's vision for a walkable, vibrant district. It was a nearly year-long process that culminated in the passage of Ordinance 2502, which repealed and replaced the former Padre Boulevard and Entertainment District Code and intentionally included, among other things, the new 200-foot off-site parking standard. The first reading, March 19th, the second reading and final passage, March 26th, 2025. This wasn't rushed. It was thoughtful, deliberate, and it was based on planning best practices, legal review, and public input. And now, less than 6 months later, the applicant is asking you to undo the work you just did. Their justification? That the properties within 200 feet, though existing, are not currently for sale or lease. But that is not a hardship in the legal or planning sense. A hardship as defined by zoning standards must involve unique physical or geographical conditions of the property, circumstances beyond the applicant's control that make it exceptionally difficult to comply with the existing law. It cannot be a self-created inconvenience, and it cannot be the result of a failed negotiation. Not being able to strike a deal with a neighboring landowner is a market limitation, not a legal hardship. It is a business challenge, not a planning one. To grant this variance would not only undermine the intent of the updated code, it would set a precedent where carefully crafted ordinances are set aside any time someone claims that enforcement is inconvenient. The applicant's representative in a July 14, 2025 letter to city manager Randy Smith claimed that, quote, the properties within the new 200-foot requirement radius are under the ownership or control of a single entity or a related group of entities who have chosen not to offer parking spaces for sale or lease to other businesses or property owners. This statement is misleading in tone and implication and is simply untrue. First, there are properties owned by people and entities other than South Padre Redevelopment Company and or their related entities within the 200-foot requirement radius, the Marlin Arms condominiums, and even the property that Liam's sits on, are both within 200 feet of the southern property line of the subject property. While those properties may not currently be actively on the market, they are properties within the 200 feet that perhaps, for the right amount of money, could be purchased. The fact that it would likely require a significant amount of money to purchase them if the owners were willing to sell at all is not a legal hardship. Further, as of this moment, right now, I am aware of only two communications between Enjoy Hospitality and a representative of South Padre Redevelopment Company. The first occurred on November 29th, 2023, when my father and I were introduced to Mr. Kassan, and we met briefly at our office in McAllen. The second was a text message I received from Mr. Kassan on June 25th, 2024, asking how I was and letting me know that he had met my brother at an event. To be fair, I will note that Mr. Kassan did send an offer to purchase all of the land that South Padre Redevelopment Company owns in November of 2023. But the proposed amount was not one we were interested in accepting, and we are under no obligation legally or ethically to sell. In many ways, I'm grateful that Enjoy has not reached out to us regarding a shared parking agreement, because even if they offered us all the money in the world, I'm not sure we could accept it and still meet our own parking requirements. That is the heart of this issue. The city's code currently states that we are required to provide one parking space for every 300 gross square feet of non-residential use in the Bayfront Character Zone and Padre Boulevard and Entertainment District. We estimate that we, South Padre Redevelopment Company, are required to provide up to 414 parking spaces just to serve our existing tenants. This is exactly why South Padre Redevelopment Company has made strategic efforts over the years to acquire land in the area. to meet our obligations, support our tenants, comply with city code, and protect the citizens of this community. We did not ask for a variance. We did not demand that the rules bend around us. We did work, and we did make an investment. Other business owners on the island, like Cielo Properties when they built Sunset Bar and Grill in 2006, Lobo Del Mar as they have built and grown their establishment, and SPI Tasty Waves as they're currently developing the southern end of Laguna Boulevard, have done this difficult but necessary work too. They have all committed to complying with the code and investing in this community. And now, all of us who are in compliance are being asked to step aside, not only to enable an exception, but to allow the consequences of that non-compliance to be borne and absorbed directly by us. For many years on this island, business leaders were committed to smart, sustainable growth. They understood that successful development wasn't just about short-term wins. It was about building something enduring. They worked to create destinations and experiences that would draw visitors, support tourism, and drive the local economy. But they also prioritized the needs of residents, committed to making South Padre Island not just a vacation spot, but a place to live, work, and raise families. As they built, they also helped shape the rules, crafting ordinances that made business sense. Practical and visionary, clear and consistent. And not only did they help craft those ordinances, they lived by them. They didn't ask for special exceptions. They didn't seek variances as a first resort. They provided the parking. They followed the rules. They planned ahead. That standard, unfortunately, is beginning to erode. When Skipjack Properties acquired bayfront land and developed the greens and a food truck park, the project was rightly celebrated as a new community gathering space. The greens consists of more than 110,000 square feet of open green space, while the food truck park is an additional 18,000 square feet of concrete pad that can support up to 6 food trucks. Because the land contains minimal structures, it carries minimal or no parking requirements under the code. And yet, that space is routinely used, not just for informal congregation, but to host large, important, and well-loved community events, events that bring people together, uplift the island, and contribute to our culture and economy. The city itself, through the CVB and Special Events Committee, has sponsored and produced events on the greens, fishing tournaments, triathlons, even a Christmas Children's Wonderland, some drawing up to 2,000 people in a single day. When organizations are requesting funding, they're required to submit an application. I've gone back and reviewed every funding application for events on the greens in 2024 and 2025. Not one addresses parking. I have watched all of the 2024 and 2025 Special Events Committee meetings. Not once was a funding applicant with an event on the greens asked, "Where will your vendors, staff, or guests park?" I can tell you where they park. They park in our lots, the ones that front Laguna between Amberjack and East Ling. Lots that are 50 feet from the greens and the food truck park. Lots that are privately owned by South Padre Redevelopment Company. These lots are being used by others, directly undermining our ability to meet our obligations to our own tenants, city ordinances, and the citizens of this community. To be clear, we want these events in this community. They are events that bring people and ideas and experiences to the island, but they also bring cars, a a lot of them. This is the ripple effect of poor planning or no planning at all. When one property is allowed to bypass the rules, the burden doesn't disappear. It just lands on someone else's shoulders. In a document included in the packet for today's meeting that's titled Additional Guidance for City Meeting, July 24, 2025, I assume this document was provided by BGSPI. The timeline provided seems to suggest that it's the city's responsibility to proactively notify a property owner about their property's zoning classification, all existing ordinances, and even any future laws, policies, or discussions that might affect development. Let's be clear. Yes, the city is responsible for making ordinances available, for posting agendas, and for providing open forums for public discussion and input. But ultimately, it is the responsibility of a property owner to understand how those laws and processes apply to their land. Zoning is not a secret. Ordinances are not hidden. The process is not closed. If a property owner is seeking to invest millions of dollars in development or asking this commission to rewrite a standard adopted less than 6 months ago, they also should bear the burden of doing the research, understanding the rules, and planning accordingly. Due diligence is not optional. It's not the city's job to chase developers down to inform them of what is publicly available and on the record. This is how responsible development works. According to the city, the property that BGSPI is proposing to use for off-site parking is located approximately 912 feet from the subject property, more than four times the current allowable distance under the code. That's not a small deviation. It is not a minor adjustment. That's a complete undoing of the standard that this commission helped to shape. It raises critical questions. What happens next? An Enjoy affiliate also owns another parcel with a commercial plaza and Padre Boulevard frontage, a property that, based on its configuration, will likely require off-site parking to meet parking requirements as well. Will they return with the same arguments and request for that property too? And is there intent to use these same lots for that property? If this variance is granted, on what grounds can you deny the next one or the one after that? A variance is supposed to be the exception, not the plan. We cannot let short-term convenience erode long-term consistency. Some have suggested to us that if we want to protect our parking, all we have to do is hire security guards, install barriers or parking arms, start charging for access, and validate parking only for patrons of the businesses on our property. And yeah, we could do that. We could convert every one of our lots to paid parking. We could probably, certainly, make enough money to cover property taxes, insurance, maintenance, and a lot more. We don't believe that that is the spirit of the parking requirements set forth by the city. The parking standards aren't just technical, they're philosophical. They're about ensuring that development doesn't outpace infrastructure. They're about making sure visitors and residents alike can enjoy South Padre Island without barriers. Paid parking creates barriers to entry. It frustrates tourists and day trippers. It annoys locals who just want to visit their favorite restaurant or bar. And more than that, it pushes overflow parking into the residential neighborhoods of the island where space is already tight. We cannot force that on residents of South Padre Island, and we shouldn't have to. We believe in thoughtful, shared responsibility, not in passing the problem down the road. To be fair, I'm not even entirely sure what this variance request is intended to resolve. Certainly, BGSPI at 2301 Laguna Boulevard, Lot 2, Block 30, Padre Beach, Section 3, is not currently in compliance with the city's parking requirements. So is this variance being requested to retroactively address that issue? Or is it related to future development? Perhaps the proposed Bubba Gump franchise. The packet and supporting materials reference a franchise agreement with Landry's and includes drawings and timelines that imply forward-looking development. But based on the materials submitted for today's meeting, no final site plans have been submitted to the city. What has been submitted, reportedly to the Texas Department of Licensing and Regulation, is a preliminary plan for a structure totaling 18,042 square feet. If that is, in fact, the size of the proposed building, then under the current code, that development would require 61 parking spaces. And yet, even if this variance is granted, the total number of parking spaces available would be just 31. So again, I ask, what exactly is this variance for? Is it to resolve an existing violation? Is it speculative, tied to a future use that hasn't been formally proposed or approved? Is it strategic, laying groundwork for a project that's not yet fully disclosed? And beyond that, where is the supporting analysis? Has the applicant provided a parking study or any formal analysis that evaluates the feasibility of shared parking, including the proposed building size and type of use, the mix of tenants, anticipated parking turnover rates, peak demand periods, projected traffic loads, the actual impact of placing parking 912 feet away on surrounding lots, including the ones within 50 feet of the subject property? Is there a shuttle system proposed to transport people from the off-site lot to the main property? What about ADA compliance? How will accessible parking be handled at that distance? Where will the dumpster be located? Because right now, the dumpster serving the property sits on Laguna Boulevard, not compliant, and behind the bollards that are supposed to ensure pedestrian safety in the area. And finally, if the shared parking agreement is terminated, or if a shuttle service stops operating, then what? Is there a mechanism in place, like a revocation clause, that would result in the removal of the certificate of occupancy? Until those questions are answered, how can a variance even be considered, let alone granted? The issues I've raised here are only the tip of the iceberg. There are far more questions that deserve careful, transparent answers before this commission can make an informed decision. In closing, I know you're all very grateful that I use those two words. In closing, this is not about opposing development. It's not about saying no to progress. It's about saying yes to fairness, yes to planning, and yes to the process that was created to protect all of us, residents, developers, property owners, and the city alike. This commission, the Development Standards Review Task Force, and the City Commission worked diligently and transparently to revise the parking requirements just months ago. That process was public, it was intentional, and it was rooted in a desire to create smart, workable, forward-thinking policy. To override that work now, based on unclear plans, unresolved violations, and a complete absence of demonstrated legal hardship, would set a dangerous precedent. It tells every future applicant that if the rules are inconvenient, they're negotiable. That if you push hard enough or create enough public pressure, exceptions will be made. And that's not governance, that's not planning, and it's definitely not leadership. This request doesn't meet the legal threshold for a variance. It doesn't meet the ethical standards of fairness, and it doesn't meet the practical expectations that property owners like South Padre Redevelopment Company work every day to uphold. I urge you to deny this request, not out of opposition, but out of respect. Respect for the law, respect for this community, and respect for the process that has already spoken clearly on this issue. I urge you to stand firm for the integrity of the process, stand firm for the safety, accessibility, and cohesion of this community. Stand firm for the principle that intimidation is not a substitute for merit. We trust you to make decisions based on facts, fairness, and what is best for this community, not on who yells the loudest or who produces the most sensational videos. Thank you.
No, come on up, state your name again, or repeat your name.
Thanks, Annie, for reminding me about the meeting we had with Annie's father. What day was that, Annie, that we had a meeting in your office?
November 2023,
we had, we did in fact have a meeting with Annie's father, Alter Holland, and we did offer to purchase that land there. And at that time, before we offered to purchase that land, he wanted us to do a trade. He wanted to trade his JJ's party barn for Coconut Jack's. I denied it three times in their office that we will not be trading Coconut Jack's for JJ's party barn. It was a little bit uneasy because I'm pretty sure for a guy that's that successful, saying no, getting said no, you know, it's kind of hard sometimes. But we definitely said we will not be trading Coconut Jack's for JJ's party barn. I think at that point, that's where we saw the different reaction of the relationship with the neighbors, right? So when we purchased Coconut Jack's, the previous owner also had a lot of issues with the neighbors, right? Neighbors being the development group that was represented by Annie right now. And he had an opportunity to sell it to whoever he wanted. And he was offered a lot of money by the neighbors represented by Annie Holland. And he refused to sell it to them because for being bad neighbors, in his words, I don't know what their relationship was. I had a great relationship with the neighbors at first. So when we purchased it, we had the opportunity to purchase it. He warned us. He said, hey, I'm just warning you that you're going to have a problem with the neighbors. I said, no problem. We'll deal with that. We've been in the community for long enough. We'll deal with that. And sure enough, we bought it, and we had no issues with the neighbors up until we started producing plans of a redevelopment there. And to go back to the point, we had parking within the 1,200 feet. So it's not like, how are we supposed to know that it's going to change to 200 feet? I mean, nobody knows that. I mean, we did plan. That's why if you look at the timeline here, we purchased that lot. Let's just say we closed 2023 February. We purchased the lot right after we had a meeting with the city. We purchased the lot confirming that, hey, 1,200 feet is okay. Within 1,200 feet is parking okay. And we got confirmation. Yes, it is. So we went ahead and purchased it. Purchased it October. So we purchased the property February 2023. Then in October, we purchased the excess lots for parking, just like, you know, just like Annie's group did too. They purchased lots, right? So to say that we would know in the future that it's going to change from 1,200 to 200 or 100 or 50, I mean, that's a crystal ball. At that point, we met multiple times with Carlos Martinez, and if we're a community, like we say we are, we would communicate, hey, heads up, there's gonna be some changes here. I know you have a large development coming up, there's gonna be some changes here. There's gonna be some setbacks of from 1,200 to 600 feet. No communication like that ever occurred, not once. Not through email. We've met multiple times through, I mean, you can see the timeline. We've met multiple times throughout the entire development. Not once did someone say, hey, it's there's going to be a variance or there's going to be a change from 1,200 to 600 feet or 200 feet or whatever it is. And if you want to talk about the changes, right, and how does 200 feet make parking better? How does it make it better? If anything, it makes it worse. Right? 200 feet is causing a lot of congestion within 200 feet. So there was a lot said by Annie, and I really do appreciate it. But the fact is, this is more than just, you know, a bar or a development at risk here. There's jobs at risk here as well, right? This new bar would produce over 100 jobs on the island, right? So there's a lot more at risk than just a new bar coming in town. I don't know if Andy wants to add anything to that, because I think I was pretty accurate about the change and what, you know, her father wanted to trade for that, for Coconut Jacks. And I think at that point, that's when things kind of took a little bit of a different turn as neighbors.
I think the only thing I would add is this is not, there is nothing personal about any of this. There is a systemic issue with parking on this island. It's been an issue for a long time. It's not specific to this variance request. I feel like I provided a lot of examples of other property owners who have complied and other property owners who have been given a pass. This is not personal. We would be thrilled with any new developments, new opportunities for residents and visitors on this island. I am not going to get into any personal conversations. I'm not sure where, I'm not, there was never an offer made by South Padre Redevelopment to purchase the property, the Coconuts property, prior to Mr. Kassan purchasing it. And I'm not sure why any of that is relevant to this conversation. I appreciate the time today. And in all honesty, I would love to see the city truly spend some time addressing parking on this island.
Okay. Anybody else? State your name, please.
Hi there. My name is Andrew Hewitt, and I am the general manager for one of the resorts here on the island. I do work for Mr. Kassan, and I just want to come forward and say that I think that we should encourage business, new business on the island, that we should support new business and investment here that's going to bring jobs locally, and it's also going to provide attractions and things for our tourists to be able to do while they're here. And I also just want to say that I'm in full support of bringing new business to the island. And as somebody that works for Mr. Kassan, I can say that he cares about his employees. He calls me every holiday, asks me how my family's doing. He's just a good person. And so I just want to say that I'm in support of it, and I think he would be a great investor in the island.
Okay, thank you. Anybody else? Going once, going twice. Okay. All right. Well, that's the end of discussion. What say us?
I have some questions for Alex, actually. Could you verify some of the things that were discussed from the audience, Alex? For example, between September of 23 and last March, when the ordinance changed, were any plans actually submitted? Was it just discussion, or was anything submitted and approved?
There were discussions. There was kind of sketches, and they sent some kind of, like a Zoom. I don't recall. The only ones that I do recall is hold on. The ones that we had on our email. So September 12, 2023. That's the last email that I had.
Okay.
I think there was one maybe somewhere in between, but then as far as my emails, there's nothing that I could find.
Okay.
You might have a little bit more of what the latest DEMA was or discussion that we had. And
okay, I understand those sketches were submitted at that time, but was anything approved?
No.
No, okay, one other question. It was mentioned that if this were to be approved, that the proposed parking would be about 30 places short of what the sketches would require. Is that correct?
So the application was officially submitted in April 17, 2025, and that is short that amount.
Okay.
Now, they're asking for the variance, and they're going to go kind of backwards and make the building fit their parking requirement.
But from everything that was submitted, even if this were approved, the parking wouldn't have enough spaces for what they're asking. Okay, thank you.
With that, the parking, we're waiting on this so we could downsize that so it could fit within the parking allotment of 30 parking spaces. So as soon as that gets, you know, the variance gets awarded, then that way we could reduce that. We shared that with Carlos that it is a reduced footprint, so it fits within the guidelines.
Okay, say that again. You lost me a little bit.
So the building footprint would be reduced to fit the parking guidelines.
Okay, I got it.
Okay. Anybody else?
I have a question. If the variance is not granted, what happens to BGSPI's time and effort and resources that they've put into this? If this variance is not granted, will they be able to go through with any kind of plans? Will they lose everything they've invested so far in this process?
I can't answer about the investment, but I'm sure, you know, all the effort's been. But as far as the size of the lot, you know, to fit the parking there, it's kind of tight. I mean, that's all I can say.
And if they were to reduce the footprint of the building to allow just 31 places, that would be like half the size of the plans that were originally sent to you, right?
Right. Yeah.
I didn't see
the prototype.
We have sent it about 3 weeks ago.
Oh yes, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
There's a just like a little sketch that they show the parking underneath. There's a couple of parking underneath the building.
Okay.
But there's no actual square footage there yet.
So that sketch had no square footage.
No.
There's no way to know if that was.
But they submitted like a little. Plan view, but I don't have that sketch didn't have a square footage on it.
But we don't even know if that's fit the parking.
Mm-hmm.
But they did submit something.
Okay.
Kind of recently, or about a month ago, or I can remember.
Yeah. What did you say it was? About 9,000?
9,000.
All the bottom floor would be parking.
Yes.
Yeah, the new sketch basically removed one of the floors. That's
for disabilities access. I know that was one of the concerns.
Please come up.
Disability access would be on the actual site.
Can you speak to the microphone so they can hear you?
So the disabilities access was a question, and that's why the new plan show the disabilities access will be on site. They're not going to be traveling off site for disabilities. All the disabilities parking will be on site.
Your question?
Yeah.
Maybe not.
Yeah, well, you don't really know exactly.
Yeah, it doesn't say the size of the building. It's just what they told us.
Yeah. Okay. Anybody else? Is that it?
Nope.
That's all my questions for him.
Yeah.
You're good? Okay. Jim, nobody down here?
Anybody? I have one other question.
Go ahead.
We have any history of the origin of the change in the parking distance from the 1,200 to 200 feet? Can anyone give us any background on how that was decided, or not decided, but how that was brought up in the first place to make that change?
Can I address that?
Well, I could do that.
Can I address that first?
Sure.
April 15th, we had a special meeting, I think, for the Development Standards Review Task Force. In that, we were looking at the setbacks, the 5-foot setbacks in all the different neighborhoods in the form-based code. The second item on that agenda, posted agenda, was to reduce parking from 1,200 feet to 200 feet for anything bigger than 4 bedrooms or 4 units. And when we got to the meeting, we had a new agenda that said reduce it to 1,200 feet to 200 feet completely. It did catch Development Standards Review Task Force off guard. Mm-hmm. They were the first ones to look at it. Lots and lots of discussion. No real, and if you go back and watch the meeting, no real reasoning other than 4 football fields was pretty darn long, and we kept citing the Marriott and having to walk across the street for parking at the Marriott, and we felt that was a reasonable distance, thinking entirely along the lines of hotels, condominiums, carting kids and luggage, or stores and carting sacks. That was the first time it came to Development Standards and Review, and we did recommend 200 feet, and we kicked around 1,200, 600, 200. But as far as the first time we saw it was on that agenda itself, and Ed was at that meeting, other than it was just came up as part of reviewing the code, I don't know. But that was our history of it. We weren't given a real reason as to why, other than look at it.
Yeah, I recall that. Yeah. Some of the reasons that I recall, and first I would dispute that the ordinance was passed is arbitrary and without due process.
I'm not saying that.
Yeah, I know, either. But I just want to comment. We did have a number of meetings. I don't recall anybody from the applicant here ever coming over and objecting to it. No, but there are two reasons. We thought 1,200 feet, I think, would go past Padre Boulevard, and we just thought it was way too far for pedestrians to walk safely. Pedestrian safety was a number one concern. And we also mentioned and discussed that we wanted it more consistent with Chapter 20's requirement of 90 or 200 feet. And therefore, you all recommended 200 feet, that the ordinance be changed to 200 feet. After that, we went through another whole process with this commission where it was also discussed. The same issues were raised about pedestrian safety being a key, having to cross Padre, which is sometimes almost impossible to do, and also the fact to keep it more consistent with Chapter 20's requirements of the, I think it's either 90 or 200 feet. And for those reasons, you all recommended, again, with after a public hearing and notice to the public, without any objection, I recommended it be changed to 200 feet. And then the third tier was going to the City Council. When we changed the code, the Padre Development Code, that addition or revision to 200 feet was added again without any opposition or objection, and because of discussing again pedestrian safety and keep being consistent with Chapter 20.
So when we purchased this property, we purchased the closest property that was for sale to the property. So we're not talking about 1,200 feet. It could have been reduced to 800 feet. It could have reduced to 700 feet. You know, but 200 feet, that particular, in 200 feet is basically from the bar across the street to the sidewalk. That's 200 feet, right? So 200 feet is really nothing. You're talking from the measurement of the I guess, Alex, what would be 200 feet, right? What am I saying incorrectly? Is it across the sidewalk to the next, the direct parking lot, or where would you say 200 feet is?
I haven't really, but I mean, typically the lots are 125 foot long, so it's probably two lots.
One and a half lots, right?
Alex, Padre Boulevard is what, 100 feet?
Yeah, 100 feet.
So it'd be a double Padre Boulevard is 200 feet.
Exactly.
That gives me a measure of 200 feet is across Padre and across Padre again. So is that correct, Alex?
Well, like, sure. If you look at this one, I wish I had a better map, but so if it's 125, then you kind of probably, I don't know, another couple of lots, because you got 50-foot lots, and then maybe another 100. You're talking about maybe 500 feet to Padre.
It's double what we just replatted. We just turned 250s into a 100, and it's double what we just replatted. So it's four lots, basically.
So I mean, we're not talking about 1,200. We're talking about 609. This is called 700 feet, right? But regardless, I mean, it was when we were doing this, it was within 1,200. That's we're not talking about 1,200. We're talking about 700 feet.
The 1,200 foot measurement from the edge of the front of the Coconuts lot takes you, according to Google Earth, I believe it's the second lot west of Gulf. That is 1,200 feet. That's a long distance. Additionally, I know of a transaction that closed within the last 30 days on an empty lot within 500 feet of the subject property. So to say that it's impossible to find something closer than the 900 feet, and that's walkable feet, not linear feet, is simply not true.
Okay.
A lot of transactions happen off market, right? A lot of the times they're not listed. Sometimes people get diseased and another family member takes over the lot, and they don't list that land for sale. We've done our homework. We've called on land that's the closest to the property, and that was the closest to the property, 680 feet.
Okay.
If there is no more discussion, are we ready to take action on this? Anybody want to make a motion? We've heard a lot of discussion. It appears we've got our questions have been answered. So, I call for a motion on this. Could this be tabled?
Of course, could be tabled. I just think it's incumbent upon me to just say one thing, and of course, this board has total discretion to regarding the variance approval or not, and if either side can appeal to the city council in a further appeal. But I think Mr. Proster's question was something I had been thinking about since I've reviewed this, in that even if the variance is granted, it's still not going to be in compliance with the building as submitted now. And I have asked Alex, I said, have final plans been submitted? It seems to me that they should submit the scaled down version before the variance is considered, that, okay, here's our scaled down version. We only need 31 or whatever spots, and then I would have less of a concern about granting the variance. It just seems like if you grant the variance with the building as proposed now, they may come back and say, well, now we want a variance to have, you know, less parking than required for the building we're building. I think Mr. Nitton has already said that he may have some prototype that that would be, if approved, would be in, would, and the variance approved would be in compliance with the amount of parking spaces that are required. So if you're going to table it, I would ask that you table it in the sense that once you ask that those revised plans for the scaled down building that would be in compliance with the required number of spots be submitted for your review.
Words right out of my mouth, Ed. I was going to ask, can we table it with and ask them to resubmit, table it and bring it back with final drawings? Can we do that as an
Yes, you could, and I think that would be very prudent to do, and just to be, you know, safe, make sure that they're in compliance with the number of spaces that are required, then consider the variance, and I would I think it would be maybe looked upon more favorable.
Okay. Ed, the applicant wants to go ahead.
Oh, okay,
go ahead.
Ed, I really appreciate you mentioning that. The fact is that we have the plans for the downsized building. The thing is that we spent an entirely, you know, we spent a good amount of money on the set of plans that are current right now. We go back and revisit that plans and really hone in on that 9,000 square feet building envelope. I just don't want it to be denied then, right? Where if it's contingent, hey guys, we're all working together on this, right? So if you guys say, hey, you downsize it to where it complies with the parking that we've got off site and on the and we have parking on site, it complies with that, we're good to go. Okay, I go full throttle and I go, you know, make sure, spend the extra money and downsize it to fit what you guys approve on the variance.
I don't think we could guarantee an approval based on you changing the plans. I think that would give us something that I don't think we could guarantee an approval. But if we table something, that's not guaranteeing how it's going to go one way or the other.
Well, I think the motion would have to be
contingent.
Well, we would grant, deny. Well, if we were to grant, it would be contingent upon.
That's fair. That's fair.
New concept of the.
I'm going to re-see it and make sure of it.
Because that would satisfy the agenda for why we're here today. Because we're here to ask for an up or down on this.
I think that's fair.
It's really not two different matters. It's just trying to. if we want to grant, then of course we'll have to have you go back and visit the architect and do this.
Absolutely.
If we deny, then it's, you know.
You could always request additional information before you make a decision.
Right, which is my point. I would rather have additional information before we made a decision because we don't know.
What information would you?
I would like to make sure those plans are submitted to the city and meets the requirements for the city first.
I mean, I can understand that there's considerable amount of money involved in architectural fees and so I can understand where you're coming from.
Oh, absolutely. I feel for Mr. Kassan.
Absolutely.
He had no idea that the ordinance was going to change, but at the same time, there was nothing approved by the city when the ordinance changed. Mm-hmm.
So, with that being known, it's another option.
I don't know, but I've been sitting through this for the whole time, and we originally looked at this parking as a result of residential parking. When we saw it as a board, we never saw it as something related to the entertainment district. It was more or less the neighborhoods, and the housing and how many people they had in the house and how many parking spaces they had. When we reviewed this, we never reviewed this as for the entertainment district and how many parking spaces would result in the amount of people they had there. So, you know, again, we never really addressed this originally, in my opinion.
No, that's correct, because what happened is the task force was dissolved, and in the ordinance, everywhere it states task force planning and zoning was substituted. So now you are hearing this variance and this issue really for the first time, because when you all discussed the parking requirements, you were still considering Chapter 20 had nothing to do with the Padre Boulevard Entertainment District Code. But when that was changed and the city council decided to reorganize or dissolve the task force and P&Z take over all their duties, I simply just plugged in planning and zoning wherever task force was, and that's why you're facing this.
But no, and I agree. The,
I'm sorry, I disagree. I spent this weekend going back and watching all the meetings, and the planning and zoning meeting, April 18th, 2024. There was a conversation about both. There was a conversation about multifamily.
Mm-hmm.
And then Alex said something about 1,200 feet, and someone said, wait a minute, what did you say about 1,200 feet? And he said the form base, the Padre Boulevard, whatever the full name is, says 1,200 feet. We're recommending 200. And you could put that all in one motion. And that was when someone, earlier during that meeting, when something was said about 1,200 feet, someone said, 1,200 feet? I don't even have trouble walking. And I wouldn't walk that. I wouldn't park my car and walk that to go to dinner.
Well, I don't think that was part of it. I think you could play it again all you want. But I think all I dealt with when I was on, when we were discussing it, was the overcrowding of parking for multifamily residences. Mm-hmm. Now, if somebody brought that up as a byline, you know, it had nothing to do with the discussion.
It was part of the motion at that meeting. It was.
Well, then it was lost on me. I don't recall it.
You're correct in that the EDC, or the entertainment boundaries zone, has never been considered parking-wise by this committee.
Right.
That area is unique. There's probably maybe an equal amount of vehicular and foot traffic that in that area. So it really was never brought to us as consideration.
Right.
It kind of tends to, you know, breathe its own life. Nothing's ever come of it before this.
Okay.
May I make a statement?
Go ahead.
My name is Andrew Hewitt, and as the general manager of a hotel, a lot of the things that we see is the tendencies of what our guests are doing while they're here, and one of them is just taking Ubers down to the entertainment district and not utilizing parking spaces down there because they know that parking gets tight at the hotels. And so they can park at their hotel, Uber down there to the entertainment district, and use it that way. So I think that that's just something that's mm-hmm. should be noted as well.
Yeah. So. Thank you. Once again.
Okay, I'm going to make a motion. May I?
We have a motion.
Okay.
I'd like to make a motion that we table the variance request until we receive a final drawing that meets the parking, a final approved drawing that meets the parking requirements before we consider the variance.
I'll second that.
Figure out how to say that, Ted. I'm not sure.
Okay, there is a motion and a second. All in favor, raise your hand. Opposed. Okay, and again, I will abstain. Okay. That being said, we are adjourned.
Gentlemen, articulating that. I was going to do the same thing, but we're not.